Hit it.
What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles, and you are now listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And today, I'm on my way to the Comic Con, C-O-N-N, for Connecticut. So, gonna go check out some comics. I got my boy here, Will McKenzie. What's up, Will?
What's good, everybody? I'm here hanging out with my friend, because Marshall's my friend, and number two, I'm representing my website, which is fanboytheater.wordpress.com, and the Fanboy Theater is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, like theater. And we do fan film coverage, we do comic convention coverage, comic reviews, stuff like that. So definitely check us out, and back to Marshall, I guess.
Yes, sir. So I'm looking at the directions now, driving and podcasting here.
We're trying not to get killed.
Yeah, exactly. So, Will is an artist and an illustrator, and he makes Amigo what is it?
Amigo. Yeah.
Migo.
A lot of people say Amigo is common.
Amigo toys. And he's a champion at that.
That's the word of the day, kids. If you hear it, scream real loud.
Yeah. And we'll scream real loud if this 18-wheeler freaking jumps on us, too.
Guts gets stomped out by this 18-wheeler.
So, Will, what are you looking forward to check out at this Comic-Con?
Well, considering our last experience, it was a good one. We went to Kinetic Con, which is just the one end, which pretty much heavily favored the gaming and the anime stuff, which me and Marshall really are into. We're comic book guys. So what I'm looking for, pure and simple today, is comic book artists and comics. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to get my fingers dirty in those bins. I'm looking to talk to people and make new friends, stuff like that. Get the word of our show out, you know, get the word of both of our shows out to people, and I'm excited to meet some new folks, hopefully. It'd be cool.
No doubt. That's what I'm looking forward to, too. I want to...
You got friends there.
Yeah, I got some people. It's cool, like, we're going to, like, these conventions a lot lately, and I'm starting to kind of recognize people that I'm seeing, multiple times, and getting to know artists and stuff, and, you know, it's pretty fun. Like, I think it's a good idea even if you don't table at a convention, just to go and meet people and stuff, and like there's a lot of networking you could do that way too, and you know, you can give people your comic, they might trade with something if you give them a comic. Not that I'm doing that just for that, but I would just give it to them anyways. There's different things you could do, and we're going to be kind of reporting from there a little bit. We'll talk about some of the artists and stuff. What we're going to do is, like, we're doing this little bit, like, in the beginning before we get there. And then we'll probably record on the way back, too, to talk about, you know, what we saw, what was cool, who we met, stuff like that. So, you know, a little convention action here. So, let's see. Trying to think of some other questions and stuff.
Is anybody you're looking really forward to meeting today, especially?
Well, I don't know. Like, I just want to meet everybody, but it's gonna be cool because my buddy Michael Vlad and his friend Phil, I can't remember his last name right now, but Phil's gonna be tabling, and Michael's gonna be there helping him out. So I can't wait to talk to them, and Michael Vlad was part of the Monster Mini comic project, so his mini is done, and he shipped them out to everybody, but I told him to just hold his for the convention, and I'll grab it there. So I'm really looking forward to checking his comic out. There's going to be some people. There was a guy, both me and you, bought a sketch card from, and from the last convention, and he's really cool, so I'm looking forward to talking to him again.
What's his name? I always forget his name.
Nick Palazzo, or something.
That's right.
.com, I think, too.
He's got this snazzy, like, zombie card he hands out, like a zombie face he drew on it.
His business card. It's dope.
I got a bullseye sketch card from him, and it's really cool, and Marshall got an Aquaman, I remember, from him.
Yeah, definitely. It's dope. So we'll see if he's got some more sketch cards.
I'm a sucker for sketch cards.
I'll get one, yeah.
Gotta get them.
And then, let's see. Don Griffin from Zorfbird and Fred webcomic. I think it's ZNF.com or something. I'll put a link in the show notes, but I know she's going to be there. I didn't realize she was going to be there. I checked my Twitter today, and she's like, oh, I'm going to be there. I'm like, oh, cool. I'll check. Be good to see her again. I saw her at New York Comic Con last year. Also, this girl, Lisa Cavalier, she's kind of she's a friend of Michael Vlad, and she does like plushies and like mini comics and stuff, so it'll be cool to see her. I saw her at a Drink and Draw a while back, so, you know, there's people there, and I bet there'll be people I don't even know who's going to be there. Like, I wonder if any of the Comics Tribe people will be there, because last year I met I met Tyler James there, and I also saw him at New York Comic Con, but I talked to him recently, and I don't think he's going to be here, because he said his next convention is in September, so I don't know, maybe some of the Comics Tribes will be there, though. That would be sweet. And then Illis, he's a MC and artist.
Oh, he's going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
An illustrator, and he's done a bunch of CDs. Like, he puts out a CD like every freaking 6 months, it seems like, lately. And it's really well produced music. Like, I love his stuff. He's got kind of an old school flow, but still it's updated enough to like really be dope now. And and his beats are just really good, like on the album. He illustrated the Public Enemy comic books and stuff, and he's down with, you know, Public Enemy and all that. So he's going to be there. He usually does some live art at these shows and stuff, so that'll be cool. And like I said, I think there'll probably be a lot of other people there that I might not have realized were going to be there. I mean, I checked out the list, but it was a long list.
Conventions, like, people show up at the last minute you never expect to be there. They just show up there, and you're like, oh, cool, because I didn't know they're going to be here today, you know. They have the big list of the people that are going to be there. Like, the big names today are for the mainstream people. Guys like Jim Kelly, Michael Golden, guys who worked for Marvel, DC, stuff like that back in the day. Michael Golden worked on a comic book, The Nom, which was basically a couple stories of his. That experience of his is in the Vietnam War. He was in the Marines in the Vietnam War. And recommend something. It's definitely if you go out and find the first two Nom graphic novels, they're totally worth it. They're awesome. They're really good.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's gonna be there, so that's cool.
I've heard of those comics too. I think a lot of people ended up working on some of those, and didn't they do? I think they did like
Qbert did a couple.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm thinking of something else, but I think they thought they did like an anthology or something, or some kind of graphic novel. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it's something else. But, yeah, that sounds awesome.
His thing is he brought cartoonishness and realism and kind of smacked them together. And it just worked. It's just beautiful. Like, the way they go together is beautiful. It's, like, really good. You got to check it out if you haven't already.
Sweet. Yeah. That sounds good. I'm looking forward to checking that out. Yep. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess a little bit. We'll just ask a couple questions for you, Will.
Sure.
You're an illustrator and artist. You've done a lot. You do like paintings. You've done some sketch cards recently and stuff that are really cool. What's your website that you do your like show your illustration on? And like just I know you've been working on your portfolio and stuff.
Right.
Well, how's that been going?
It's been going good. I basically have been trying to reinvent myself. I mean, I will always be an illustrator in my heart. I have a huge passion for it. But lately I've been trying to convert my portfolio to a graphic design oriented one, because a buddy of mine from art school, he basically graduated as an illustrator like myself, and he really couldn't get any work, so he decided to kind of switch things over, do the graphic art design. Now he's huge. He works for Ralph Lauren, he works for all kinds of people, Calvin Klein, doing graphic design work. So one day I showed him my portfolio and he said, this is the illustration stuff is great, but for the stuff I can maybe get you a gig doing, no, it isn't. It has to be graphic design. So this entire summer I basically put my nose to the grindstone and made it an entire graphic art portfolio in a summer. It normally would have taken me like a year in college to do it, and I just kind of forced myself to do it. And I might be able to get meetings with recruiters through my friend. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll get myself a jobby job, and it'll all be good. But I'm never going to abandon the illustration. The illustration, you know, I'm still going to be doing it on the side. I'm working on a comic book right now I'm writing. So I'm going to do that whenever I have little segments of time left over. Like Marshall does, you know, whenever he has time to.
Yeah, no doubt. That'll be cool. And it's pretty cool too, because you're from Long Island and your buddy's from like New York City, right? So like there's a lot of opportunity there, I think, for that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and you hear a name like Ralph Lauren, your ears go up. You know, like, wow, holy shit, that's a huge name.
No doubt.
You know.
So that should be good. I hope that works out really well for you.
Thanks, man.
And so also, you know, you mentioned your comic, like I'd be right. interested in maybe just kind of a little brief, you know, talk, like let us know a little bit about kind of what you're okay. writing. You don't have to go into too much detail. I'm sure it's way in the works and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, but if there's anything you want to share on it, it'd be cool.
It basically takes place fresh after a breakup with this guy and his girlfriend, and It's day one of him being girlfriendless through about a week and a half of his life, what he goes through for about a week and a half.
Okay.
And if it ends up, you know, working out good, I'm going to maybe turn it into some kind of a series of if I can, and, you know, have him, you know, meet someone else and maybe, you know, their relationship, try to carry it out, kind of like Strangers in Paradise type stuff. You're not going to see any superheroes. You're not going to see... I mean, I love superheroes and everything, don't get me wrong, but you're not going to see monsters or anything like that. It's just normal, everyday people. Kind of similar to... I don't know if anybody's heard of Adrian Tomine. He did a comic called The Optic Nerve, and that's one of my favorite real world kind of style comics. What do they call those? Autobiographical? Or
yeah, like an autobio comic.
Yeah, kind of style, yeah.
That's cool.
It's not necessarily based on me, but, you know, I've had some, you know, things happen to me recently, and I throw those into the story.
Yeah, you know? No, it's kind of so, like, that kind of stuff is cool, because it can be kind of therapeutic, and it can also just be, like, fun to explore, you know, that kind of, even if it's not autobio, but just, like, kind of relationship. There's a lot there, like, I don't know, it's interesting, like, you see in movies, like, they'll always have these action movies, and they always got to throw in the romance thing, and,
you know. That's for the girls in the audience.
Yeah, which I think it's cool to have romance in a story anyways, like.
But a lot of chicks dig action, too.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of chicks don't like that kissy-kissy stuff. They want to see explosions. They want to see, like, buses exploding with people inside jumping over the side of the bridge.
I know, especially nowadays with like these conventions being more of a pop culture event, and kit and girls like getting into cosplay and stuff, they kind of get more geeky.
Yeah, that's cool. You know,
I like the geeky chicks, right?
Oh yeah, man. Look at me, I'm a giant dork. I like to look for females of the species that I can. You know, there are some very beautiful women who walk around these conventions, and their comics are always, I mean, the costumes are always awesome. So yeah. I just give them a compliment, you know, it's a sincere compliment, and walk away like, wow, that chick was beautiful. That's like,
no doubt.
Too bad I'm a dork and I can't talk to her. I'm going to be over here reading my comics, I'm sorry.
That's funny.
I love you.
So, the other, you got many sides to Mr. Will McKenzie. Well, first of all, your website is the other one that do the illustration, what's that called again?
I do a little bit of a mix. It's like my main art site, so I incorporate all the things I'm working on art-wise into it. It's wm4art@blogspot.com. You can find my graphic design. You can find my illustration work. You can find my toy design stuff, my toy packaging designs, and all that stuff. And when the comic comes up and it's done, it's definitely going to be up on there. I might post the entire thing online instead of printing it. I may just put it as an online comic. But I do love these half-size comics everyone are making now, and I'd really love to do one like that. Like a lot of you're doing and your friends are doing. Like, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that'd be really, really cool to do.
That's cool. Hopefully maybe you can join into the next challenge
Yeah, because I see that you guys trade all kinds of awesome comics and stuff like that, and I'd really like to get into that. That'd be fun, you know?
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm always down for a challenge.
Okay, so you got that. You got, like, 10 websites.
Yeah, man. I could bore you to death right now.
So there's one more major side of the Will Geekdom, and that would be Fanboy Theater.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about all that stuff.
Well, basically, I founded Fanboy Theater between 2001 and 2002. I fell in love with fan films. Anybody who doesn't really know what a fan film is, it's basically like an existing property, like an Indiana Jones, a Star Wars, a Superman. People take it and they make their own movies based on Superman or Batman or Star Wars. So they have like $100 in their wallet and a green screen in their basement. They churn out these little fan films, and a lot of them are really good and really impressive. So no one was really giving them props back in the day. So I decided to kind of, you know, start up my own site to, put a spotlight on these people and give them some credit that they deserved and stuff. So I started up Fanboy Theater, and to this day, I'm still doing it. I'm still interviewing people, doing stories and all that news and what's coming out next. But it's amazing how fan films have progressed since 2002 with, you know, technology that's available now. You can make a professional looking 11-minute Batman movie, and it's phenomenal, though. It's like a real Hollywood movie. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, some of the stuff you showed me is like,
yeah,
I like it better than even like the Dark Knight stuff.
Yeah, like Batman Dead End, like the way he looks is sick. Like, you remember that cape and his cowl was all wrinkled and like,
yeah, and he doesn't talk like this.
Yeah, you're going back to Arkham, you know, Joker. Sadly enough, the guy who played Joker killed himself maybe 3 years ago in that movie. He was also on a show called Growing Pains for a while as Mike Siever's best friend. So it's kind of sad.
Oh, you mean, you're not talking about The Dark Knight, right? I'm talking about
Batman Dead End. It's
dang,
probably the most
so
famous
like,
fan
if you play it. Joker, you're probably going to have to get some therapy then, I guess.
And his Joker was scary, man. He was sick. He was really sick looking. Like,
yeah.
He was scary, yeah.
Huh. That's crazy.
He played it brilliantly. He only had a few lines, but he really got into it. And yeah, it was crazy. So if you ever get a chance, it's Sandy Culler is a buddy of mine from Migos also, because he does his own Migos too. So we chat about fan films and Migos when we talk. But he actually made, to tie them both together, he actually made a limited number of Batman Dead End Migos, and they were friggin' sick.
That's awesome.
But he charges like $200 for his customs online. They're totally worth it because his stuff is top notch. Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking myself down, but his stuff is like, it looks professional.
Yeah, well, I think your stuff is pretty top notch too. It's amazing.
I've picked it up a little. I mean, I'm not the greatest in the world, but I've picked it up. You know, trial and error, like any other art. You know, it's trial and error. You fuck up, and excuse me for the potty mouth there, but you mess up, and you have to go back and kind of start from square one and try and bang it out, basically. And that's what I do.
Yeah, so if you're looking for some awesome, like, custom Migos, you know.
I do commission.
Email him. Maybe he'll part with one for some cold, hard cash.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, or maybe he'll make you a custom one, but you're gonna have to pay some decent money, because these things take, you know, a lot of work, and it's a custom thing. Like, people don't realize, like, they might, like, I think you've told me that people have requested you make one, and then you tell them how much it's going to be, and it's like...
That's when they go bye-bye.
They don't want to pay, but, I mean, this is a custom freaking
one
figure.
One of a kind. You're not going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the deal? Somebody want to give me $20 for it? It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, the supplies alone cost over $20 to make it.
So. Right, no doubt. So... if you're into, I mean, I know some of you guys are really into toys, and also a lot of us have no money though too. So, but definitely go check him out though, because like Will does a really good job with these things. I'm still waiting for the Puma Man one.
Yeah, we love this indie, this old campy indie flick called Puma Man. It's like, there's like a really crappy, I think there's, made in Italy, and they dubbed it into English, and it's just, it's so stupid, but it's definitely worth it if you can look for it online. Puma Man, and Michael Pleasance is in it from Halloween, Dr. Loomis. He's like the only famous person.
Yeah, it's like a superhero that
who flies like
he's Puma Man, but he has no powers that resemble anything that have to do with a puma.
No.
And he flies like an idiot.
And he flies like he's being suspended by his belt by a rope, and he's like hung over. He's like hunched over. He's being craned flying through the air, and
so funny.
So stupid, and the dialogue's ridiculous, and it's just, it's fun to watch and make fun of it. It's so bad.
It's awesome though, because they like look into that mask or something, things change into things, and
the golden mask.
It's super campy, and but it's super awesome and stupid.
Watch it with your boys. Get a couple beers, and it's fun to make fun of. It's a good time.
Cool, man. So those are the many shades of Mr. Will McKenzie, and. Like I said, I hope the best for your endeavors. I think you got definitely some super awesome talent, and you know, we're gonna go check out this comic convention. It was actually kind of cool. We got in traffic, but it kind of makes it easier to podcast when you just have to go slow and stuff.
What else are you gonna do?
So you know, we're making use of this time that we're wasting, and you know, hopefully you guys enjoy listening to this, and we're gonna report back on the drive back home and let you know how awesome or how much it sucked. So
we'll let you know either way.
I'm sure it will be awesome. I already know who will. So so thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Yes.
Peace.
Hi.
Alrighty, it is the drive back now from Comic Con.
Yeah, I got con drag ass right now, man. I'm tired, but I feel like a champion right now. I bought comics like a champion today.
Yes, we did everything like a champion. We talked to people like a champion. Yeah. We are victorious over.
I rolled up free posters like a champion.
Over here, I got my poster of Edward and Jacob from Twilight like a champion for my wife.
Yeah, for your wife. Yeah, right.
I bought those for $20 a piece.
Special edition lithographs.
Yeah, 3D lithographs.
Holofoil.
Aluminum foil on the... aluminum foil Twilight Vampire... Chromium Sparkle... Sparkle Vampire Sparkle cover. Oh, man. No, but it was good. It's nice to go to a comic convention that's actually a comic book convention with comic books.
I miss those.
Yeah, like, it's not movies, it's not freaking, you know, anime, like, digest, and not that I have a problem with manga and anime, but it's not gaming, you know, there's no, like, cars parked inside the convention hall selling Toyotas and stuff like that. It was just straight up comic bookery.
But the Batmobile was supposed to be there from the old 60 show, but he couldn't make it because of the weather. And he has, you know how the Batmobile is basically a convertible, pretty much. It's open top.
Yeah.
So the guy was going, apparently the Batmobile can't make it again this year. And he was like making a big joke out of it. They should find a Batmobile with a roof on it.
Yeah, no doubt. But Adam West was there. Not really. Yeah. There was a guy dressed up as Batman with the old Adam West costume there. I got a good picture of that.
I took an elevator ride with Adam West once at Big Apple Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, you said that. Tell us about that experience, William.
Yes, this is funny. So, I actually knew that Adam West and Burt were going to be reuniting for a Batman panel that they were going to talk on or whatever. And I was just looking for the room, and I'm saying, where is this? Because it was on the first floor, and I'm looking on the first floor, couldn't find anything. So I see a bunch of people heading towards the elevator to go upstairs, and they're all comic people, obviously. A lot of them were dressed up and whatnot. So we all cram ourselves into this elevator, and, you know, the door closes, and I kind of notice the voice in front of me. It's very distinct. I'm like, is that? Holy shit, that's Adam West. It was Adam West standing next to Burt Ward, right in front of me in the elevator. So I could say I took an elevator ride with Batman and Robin. It was funny because Adam West is really funny, and like, so there was a guy behind him, and he was kind of getting close, and he was like, "Ooh, getting a little close over here, it's getting a little tight in the elevator." It's pretty funny.
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't, but it was just really mad cool to be behind him in an elevator. It was such a random experience.
That's awesome. You know? So
that's my little story about Adam West.
That's
it was
awesome.
An awesome panel, too, he gave. It was really good. You can find it on my show, my old podcast, which is the Fan Film Podcast. We used to have our own site, but unfortunately we took it down. You could find it on TalkShoe. It's his Fan Film Podcast. So if you want to check it out, we have a whole episode of the Batman panel I recorded. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Check that out, homies.
Yeah.
So
champion.
So we conquered, we came and conquered. Had an awesome time. Talked to a lot of people. Talk to the people I told you about from the beginning of the podcast. I think I don't know if I remembered to talk about Illis. Did I talk about Illis before?
No, I don't think so.
I think I forgot to talk about Illis in the beginning, but dude, he's a hip-hop artist, and he's an illustrator, and he did, like, the Public Enemy comic books, and, you know, I've talked to him before. He's from the same state. He's from Connecticut. So we've talked a lot before and stuff, and, you know, through emails or whatever and internet stuff. But this time, you know, I got a chance to have, like, actually two pretty good conversations with him. So that was really cool to talk to him. Check his music out. You know, he's got some awesome music. He's actually got a Kickstarter going on right now. To press up vinyl, and it's pretty cool because, like, I guess for, like, a certain tier, like, it's expensive to press up vinyl, but he's for a certain tier, he actually made, like, blank covers, so you can get like an artist edition vinyl, so, like, he'll just draw on the whole cover, and it's like that.
What is his goal for the?
His goal, I think, is 1,500.
Okay.
Because it's
wax is ridiculous.
Yeah, wax is, and that's just for the printing. Like, wow. He's just trying to get enough to print them, I think, and get them shipped to him because it's expensive. Because if you print up vinyl, like, first of all, it's just expensive to print it up. But then you have to order the covers are like a separate charge, and then for the shipping, I mean, vinyl is really heavy, so that costs a lot, and it comes in multiple boxes for a lot, you know. Certain amount, and so it's going to be expensive. So if you want to go support that would be awesome. His music's real good, especially if you like kind of like a old school vibe, but like really updated music. Like, I don't know, if you like things like maybe Gangstar or something, or like Public Enemy, or I don't know, KRS-One, all those awesome guys that I love from back in the days, like, you'll definitely love him. He's got like a lot of good collaborations too with like newer guys and stuff too, and it's dope. He's got good music, so check his stuff out. But yeah, I mean, we dug through dollar bins and quarter bins, and I don't think there's any quarter bins, but with 50 cent bins.
I found some dude at the end.
Oh, sweet. So yeah. So he found some quarter stuff.
I could smell them shits. I sniffed it out.
$5 graphic novels. You know, yeah. We geeked out. We spent the whole day, you know, from 10 to 6. Actually, we didn't get there till like 11:30, but we spent since we got there till 6 o'clock. Took a little lunch break. Enjoyed some high quality Mickey D's food. Had a little, you know, Dr. Pepper cocktail, and
get yourself full of pepper.
You know, then we hung out, helped some people, you know, close up their shop, talk to them, and our buddy Michael Vlad sold a comic or two of his own, which is awesome. He wasn't actually technically tabling there, but he was there with his buddy Phil, and they both sold some comics, and I'll put their links in there, and that was awesome to see him sell. And I got my copy of his comic, his mini comic, and oh my gosh, I'm so impressed. Like, the art is fan-freaking-tastic, and I can't wait till he gets a new one out. I haven't even read this one, and I'm waiting for the next one. But it looks awesome. Just really good stuff. I talked more to that guy, Nick Palazzo. And he's going to probably get into the Comic Projects group. I told him about the Facebook group. And he wants to make, like, I gave him one of my comics. And he really wants to make, like, his own mini comics now. He got kind of inspired and stuff. And he said he likes my stuff. And, oh, man, it's just a lot of stuff. Talk to some people, talk to Don Griffin about some stuff, and you know, she's connecting with people. I don't know, it's just good stuff, man. Met some new people, got some new comics. Oh, I scored a Cheech Wizard comic, which you might not have even heard of him, but this dude Von Baudet like did like underground comics
do your research.
If you are in any way into graffiti, you might know of Von Baudet, because he's like a huge inspiration to like a lot of graffiti artists, especially back when it first started in the subways in New York.
Yep, his work was all over the trains.
Yep, all over the trains. Cool stuff. I found this whole section where it was like all underground. Bit like this guy had like 3 or 4 like long boxes of underground comics, and I was loving that, and I got so inspired just flipping through them. A little too expensive. Those old comics go for a lot, but I think I'm gonna start collecting them piece by piece, because I'm really inspired by that stuff. I'm really inspired by the old stuff. I might even kind of, besides the indie guys that I'm like working with, I might kind of get even more away from the new stuff, especially, you know, Marvel DC type stuff. Even though I still like them, I think they're awesome, but man, I'm just getting so inspired by these art styles and the old school stuff and the underground stuff. I can't take it. Like, and then at the end of the day, we're getting in the car, getting ready to go home, and all of a sudden, This weird guy Will comes up to me.
Like, yo, what's hands up?
He stuffs like a bunch of comics in my pocket.
Some pot?
What? No, not pot.
What are you talking about?
Some visual pot. And no.
Some iwana.
Yeah, iwana.
Iwana.
He's like, here, dude, I got these for you. And he pulls out all these, what are they called again? The
Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe.
Guide to the Marvel Universe.
Guide to the Marvel Universe. He got me like 10 issues, or I think more than that.
There's a bunch of volumes of them.
Yeah.
There's even this is worth going on eBay for, where they have Marvel Universe Guide to the Dead, and it's all the dead superheroes. And the cover has them rising out of graves like ghosts. It's
pretty cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So, like, he showed me those the last time he was visiting, and I was just, like, super amped, because they're, like, all it is characters with bios, but it's, like, all these crazy characters. Like, some of them are obviously ones you know, you've heard of, but then there's, like, all these
guys
other
guys like The Ringer, who are totally, like, Z-listers.
Yeah, people, characters who have only been in, like, one or two or three or, you know, just a few issues of comics. And it's just cool. I love it. I love to read the bio, see all the different powers and the different descriptions, and it's so inspirational.
It's very, it's create so characters. Exact. They have, like, a cross-section of Tony Stark's armor, and they show every freaking circuit in the entire suit of armor.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Some comic book illustrator was pissed when they gave him the job for, like, $50 to draw this amazingly intricate, like, thing, I'm sure.
Should have got a goddamn architect.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But they're amazing, and so I'm, like, super amped. I got an awesome haul. I can't wait to, like, spread all my comics on my art desk and show a picture to you guys of all the cool stuff I got. Yeah, I might break the table.
You might go through the table.
And I only spent like $25, but
there you go.
You know,
balling on a budget like me. So.
Exactly. I got some. I mostly focused on the indies and stuff. I didn't actually go through too many dollar boxes and stuff. I went through the indies and grabbed as much, you know, supported as many people as I could, and then. Like I said, my boy hooked me up with some cool Marvel Universe ones, which I can't wait to go through.
Yeah,
so.
Because, you know, we were talking, me and Marshall, and, like, he's like, you know so much about all these comics and everything. I'm like, yeah, I guess. But, like, when I was a kid, like, I used to read, like, Marvel Universe a lot to get me into, like, to feel the history of the characters and stuff. So I had bought some last time I went up to Marshall's, and I let him, you know, borrow them or whatever to look at, because I thought it would be kind of a good inspiration for him to, like, for characters, like costume ideas, you know, story ideas. It really kind of like it gets you going to say, I could do one of those guys. I could give him a history, you know. I could give him a suit of armor and 12 funky things on it, you know, like. So I basically let him have for a little inspiration and for a little history at the same time, because he wants to know a little more about comics and stuff. So that's a good place to start.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
check those out.
That's the thing. Like, I've always been into comics, but, like, the way I've approached them is I'm always looking for cool artists and stuff, and I can't help it. I'm like, eye candy gets me, and I'm just like, get into it. But you know, I've never been, like, the guy who, like, you know, I have to read the next Spider-Man or the next thing. Like, I kind of buy runs of comics and read them. Like the whole graphic novel, like craze that started, you know, like, that's kind of more of me, because I like to read a whole story and stuff, and so, you know, there's a ton of information. Like, I always tell people, I wish I was more geeky, because, I mean, I'm geeky, but I just don't have that geek knowledge, and I wish I did.
I don't think you want to know it, man.
I do. I want to know. I want to be one of those dudes who, like, argues about, like Superman's costume from issue, you know, whatever to whatever, you know. I don't know, like, I wish I knew that much
first
about
appearance
it.
Of pink kryptonite.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I never even heard of pink kryptonite until just now.
It's out there.
So I was getting really amped off of, like, the old Silver Age, like, comics, because my dad, I used to read my dad's Silver Age stuff, and I don't know,
that's great stuff.
Yeah, it's so imaginative, and
there's a lot of sci-fi influence.
Yeah.
Very good, because at that period, late 50s, early 60s, it was like, you had, like, you know, The Day the Earth Stood Still with Gort, all those robot movies, you know, and, like, sci-fi was huge then, you know?
Yeah.
So it was only a matter of time before it made its way into comics, like, characters like Adam Strange, who's basically a ripoff of, like, Buck Rogers, who came before Flash Gordon.
Right.
Back in the day, so. There's a little geek flexy right there.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Like, everything, I'd be going through these comic bins and I'd, like, mention something to Will. I'd be like, oh, this is cool. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a great comic. Like, he knows them all. He's read almost all the stuff.
I am,
like,
the Grand Dork Wizard.
Yeah, so it's awesome. So, but, you know, that's kind of my experience in a nutshell. I mean, that can't even contain. We were there for, like, 5-6 hours, however long. And I had a lot of great conversations, super inspired. But I want to hear, like, a little bit more about, you know, Will's experience. How was it for you, like, kind of a nutshell of what your whole day?
I basically sum it up as, you know, I took a lot of interest in the underground stuff, you know, that you showed me and all that stuff, introduced me, excuse me, to a couple of friends of his. us out. That was very, that was a really cool way to start the day. A nice positive start. And then headed on into the, I guess you'd call it the merchandise sales floor or whatever, where they have all the comics and all the toys. And I just made my rounds and had a lot of good stuff. A lot of toys, which I was kind of surprised about. A lot of old school 80s. Because I also collect the old school 80s toys, you know, G.I. Joes from the 80s. He-Man, and I even go back to the Migos in the 70s. I had a lot of cool stuff there. But I didn't really know buy. I had one thing I got, which I was like searching for forever, is a Donnie Darko figure. It's Frank the Bunny from the movie Donnie Darko, and I've always wanted it. And every time I see it at a convention, it's like $30. And I looked at this one guy's table for $11, and I was like, what? So I just grabbed it.
Sweet.
And then after that, I just started scoring comics like a champion. I was like hitting the dollar bin, the 50-cent bin, and that, we had discovered quarter bins. So I went like ape shit in the quarter bins, and, you know. So I had a great day, you know. It was a lot of like cool costumes, a lot of attractive ladies wearing cosplay costumes, which is never a bad thing. And
yeah, I got a few pictures and stuff. Yeah. My favorite, actually, my two favorites.
R2-D2 was dope.
Yeah, what would you say your favorite cosplay was today?
There was a lot of cool stuff. I was kind of digging on those Deadpools.
Yeah, the Deadpools were good. I mean, the Deadpool costume is like, I think it's probably an easy one to kind of pull off, but these ones looked really good.
And it was a guy and a girl. Yeah. It was the male.
It was the guy and the girl, and yeah, they looked really good. I liked them. They were sharp. My favorite, that I have two favorites.
Mr. T was awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mr. T. Mr. T was, actually, there was a few, like, super standout ones.
The Hulk guy.
Yeah, the Hulk guy was awesome. He was, like, really big. I don't know if he was on stilts or something. His feet were huge. Like, and he was, like, just making, like, lots of noise. All the kids wanted to get pictures with him. That's another thing I thought was cool about this convention is all kids 10 years old and under were in for free. So that's really
cool.
And
you could tell they were having a ball, and it brought back kind of memories of going to Comic Cons back in the day with my father and him taking me to old, you know, comic conventions at the Penza Hotel in Manhattan, you know, because I'm in New York or whatever, so we used to go there every year. And it kind of brought back memories to see these little kids like, wow, Dad, look at this. Oh, wow, yeah. Dad, look at this. And like, I never wanted to leave, you know.
Yeah.
The end of the comic, okay, son, we spent enough money. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, we had to leave.
Yeah, a lot of father-son things.
Yeah, it was cool.
There was one part where, like, I could tell the guy was kind of hinting towards me, and he's telling his kid, he's like, oh, well, those ones are a little expensive. We got to look in the dollar bin where, and he's saying dollar bin, like, right behind me, and is like, all right, well, I'll let him in and stuff. And I noticed the kid was looking at a Star Wars thing, and I was like, oh, I found this Star Wars one in the dollar bin thing. And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, cool. And that was cool. That was fun. I guess like for cosplay, my favorite one, like there was the Mr. T one was awesome. He had like this huge missile, like literally like the size of a person.
It was like a cannon with like an RPG rocket missile inside.
Yeah, it was like made out of cardboard, but it was huge. And he was just like running, walking around like with a growly voice, and he looked awesome. And then there was, my other favorite one, and it was just a really sharp costume, like perfectly done, was Nightcrawler. Yeah, the Nightcrawler, and I got a good picture of him too. He posed.
Chris Claremont era.
Yeah, he.
Nightcrawler.
He posed for me, and it was a good one. So, and there was Mystique there too with him, and that was cool. But it's always fun to see the cosplayers and stuff. So that was cool, and. Yeah.
A funny end to the day was just when we were leaving. I'm not going to wrap up the show yet or anything, but
yeah.
When we were leaving, I noticed Supergirl was out there. You know, this girl had an awesome Supergirl costume, good-looking girl. And the guys, I didn't know Supergirl smoked. This was like a bad PSA. She had a cigarette in her hand. It was so funny.
See
Supergirl smoking.
Yeah, it's like Supergirl. Yeah. She's smoking, man.
She can. She can smoke it, not die, you know? So.
That's true.
Funny, Superman doesn't smoke, you know?
I know, right?
Shoot heroin, smoke crack, you know? He'd be completely fine.
Yeah. That's funny. Never thought of that aspect of it. But.
Superman slamming down every drug imaginable like a champion.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, it was a super fun day, man. We had a lot of awesome conversations. Connections were made. Connections were more concrete. You know, there's a lot of people I saw for a second, third time. And, you know, it's just really nice to see people. There's a number of people who are going to be at the Paint and Pixel convention that I'm going to be at. So,
did you talk about that your last show at all? Yeah, Paint and Pixel?
Yeah, I've talked about it on a couple of the podcasts that I'm going to be doing that. So, you know, that's going to be really fun. And, you know, it's cool. Like, me and Michael Vallad are gonna table together. And Lisa Cavalier, she does... like plushies and stuff, like knit plushies and stuff, and she does like mini comics and stuff. So she was at this convention. She does a lot of conventions, actually. Like, she was telling me she was at some other ones too. Like, I think she was at the Paint and Pixel one last year, but I didn't know her then. So, but she's gonna be at this one with us again. And, you know, so there's a lot of cool people, man, meeting a lot of cool people. It's nice to get out of the house. You know, us comic nerds tend to stay at home. It's nice to get out of the house and, you know, check this stuff out. And it was really fun, and I'm glad. It's awesome that Will was here to share it with me. Like, we're like comic convention buddies nowadays.
Yep.
It's awesome. Have a lot of fun, and, you know, I guess that's about it. Like, I don't want to make it too long on the back end because the front end was, like, a half an hour. This is getting to be 23 minutes here, yeah. Too. So, like, I don't want to go too long, but, you know, it's a good experience.
Sum it all up, it was a great day. Very, very fun time. Very happy I went. And you could see also my pictures and my covers as well as Marshall's on our separate sites. We're probably going to end up sharing a couple photos here and there because we didn't take many, but, you know, Marshall got a lot of really good ones. I had some that were okay, so... You can see that on Fanboy Theater.
It's fanboytheater.com, right?
It's fanboytheater.wordpress.com.
.wordpress.com, okay.
But you can go to fanboytheater.com and see the old stuff, the old fan film news and all that.
And that links right to the other one, right?
Yep. It's got a bar right there saying we moved.
So that'll be good. Go to fanboytheater.com or .wordpress.com. Check that out. And then what is it? The Will McKenzie for art or something? How's that
going? I have my own illustration graphic design website, which is WM, the number 4, art at, .blogspot, no, it's WM4art.blogspot.com.
Right.
I've got so many of these things to remember.
It's tough. It's
and
tough.
I also have my custom Mego site, which is McKenzie McCustoms. It's McKenzie McCustoms. I know it's spelled wrong and it's on purpose. So that's it. Also at blogspot.com. So if you want to check that out, feel free to check that out.
And I'll put the links in the show notes. And I would definitely suggest going and checking out his stuff because if you like fan films, it's like awesome site for that. The custom figures, like those things... are so cool, especially if you like toys and like the old school toys. Go check that out. And then his illustration is awesome. Like, I mean, he's got so much awesome stuff, so go check it out. Definitely recommend it. As you always know, like, you can check my stuff at plexhop.com. And yeah, that's where the blog's going to be. That's where the podcast's going to be. Shout outs to all the people who were at the show, who I talked to, and you're all awesome. It was fun to talk to you, and you know, for all my listeners, thank you again for listening. We've had a lot of good feedback. Super awesome. I got a comment while I was at the show. I haven't read it yet, but I'll be responding soon. And thank you so much. And we are out for the day. Peace out.
Bye, folks.
Talk to you next week.